now attracted to men after taking painkillers.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
Scott Purdy, 23, dumped his girlfriend of 6 months after taking pregabalin and realizing he was attracted to men. Maybe he watched a lot of Adam Levine videos when he was in the hospital.
Airing every day from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Adam Levine, man. What a man he is. Adam Levine's one of those guys. He almost transcends sexuality in a way. I mean, I'm not saying I would, you know, but if I was.
I'm 1340 WKGN.
No, I'm just saying if I was. I think Adam Levine, I mean, he's a good looking man. Nothing wrong with that.
I mean, you've said that a couple times. I think
I just had to get it off my chest. I've been waiting for the right moment.
Hour three kicking off in the Fan Run Studios. If you're missing the first 2 hours, check out the podcast if you'd like. iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, FoxSportsKnoxville.com, powered by 245 Tech. You haven't really missed much from the show. Tanner Fuller sent in a Virginia Tech's hype video for their game. I wish I'd have kept Virginia Tech as my champion. They're pumped. They're ready to go. Kind of wish I'd have kept them as my champion.
What if Virginia Tech actually won the title after you joked around about that?
I'll still take a little bit of credit, but not much because I chickened out. But hour three headlines, Cody McClure collision course right now.
Thanks, John.
You're welcome.
Florida State's Phil Kofer was told after the NCAA tournament game that his father had died. Kofer, a senior, did not play Thursday due to a right foot injury. He received bad news. After the game, his father, who had been ill for some time, had passed away. Phil found out after the tournament game. Incredibly sad, his teammates comforted him as best they could. Phil Kofer's father, Mike, you might remember, was a Pro Bowl linebacker for the Detroit Lions for 10 seasons in the 1980s and the 90s. He had suffered from an illness for some time. You ever heard of Mike Kofer?
Was it Kofer or Coffer?
I don't know. It's C-O-F-E-R.
Well, this guy was committed to Tennessee. I don't know if you know that.
Phil was?
Yeah. I believe it's Coffer. Phil Coffer was committed, and once Konzo left, we let him out of his letter of intent, I guess.
No, I did not know that, actually.
Yeah. No, he was committed to come here.
I find that interesting.
He was committed to come here, and we let him out of it.
Yeah. Well, he lost his father yesterday.
Is he good at Florida State? Do we know? I mean, I know that's not the point of the story, but.
I really don't know.
Okay. Because I feel like some of those guys, I mean, I saw, what was the one guy's name that was playing yesterday? Who was the guy? Quay Parker? Wasn't Quay Parker one of our guys, too? I'm making that up. Quay Parker.
I've heard of
Quay Parker, Tennessee.
Quay Piku.
Yeah, Quay Parker, I think, is now at like, I want to say he's maybe at
Quan
Alexander. Mexico State, maybe. He was playing yesterday in the tournament.
Quay Walker went to Georgia.
Oh, maybe I'm making something
Trey
up.
Trey Walker was a guy. Who is Quay Walker? Or Quay who?
Quay Walker was the linebacker that God told us was coming to Tennessee and then threw the hat and went to Georgia.
Oh. Who is Quay Piku?
He's the linebacker that actually came to Tennessee underneath Butch.
Oh. He must not have been very good.
Maybe he was a D-lineman.
And who are you talking about?
I was talking about Quay
Piku. Quan Alexander?
No. Phil Coffer, I mean, he's solid. He's 7 points, 3 rebounds a game type of guy. Last year was better. I don't know if he's been dealing with injury this year or what, because he's only played in 22 games. But last year was really solid for them. 12, almost 13 points, 5 rebounds a game. Good for him, I guess. Not the whole dad thing. That sucks. But his career's been okay. Next headline, please.
UCLA men's soccer coach Jorge Salcedo has resigned following his indictment last week for allegedly taking payments totaling $200,000 as part of an extensive college admissions and testing bribery scheme, the school confirmed. So Jorge out at UCLA. His departure caps an ignominious end for the former Bruins All-American player who went on to serve as head coach for the last 15 years. Apparently he's a famous UCLA soccer player.
You mentioned that his dad played here, right?
Tournament in 14 or 15 seasons. Who?
You mentioned that Mike had played here, right? You mentioned that, right?
No.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Oh, yeah, no, he played.
He played football here?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, that's a local story.
Yeah, I was curious as to, you know, I was doing the thing where I was kind of half looking, but I was also looking for Quay Parker and Phil Coffer stats. But, yeah, no, he played football here.
Oh, so Mike Coffer was a Vol.
Whenever you had said, I hope we're saying his name right. Well, I guess one of us says you're saying Coffer, I'm saying Coffer. I don't really know.
I don't know. I didn't realize that was a local story. I hadn't seen anything.
He played in the NFL.
Just saw the national headline.
Yeah, he played. He played for the Detroit Lions. He was a Pro Bowler. He was really good at football. He was a captain here at Tennessee.
Wow, in the 80s.
Yeah, 80.
He would have played around the time Reggie White did, then, wouldn't he? I mean, if he was,
I'd say similar. I mean, I know that. He played. He was a Pro Bowler in 88, got drafted in 83, so yeah, he'd have been here in 82, 81, 80.
Played on the same team as Reggie White.
Yeah. Third-round pick.
Wow.
When you had said his dad, I thought you was talking about the Tide of Knoxville. Like I said, I was only half listening as I was looking up the story. We got a lot of tweets of people pointing that out.
Oh.
I thought you had mentioned it. That's I
did not. No. Yeah. I was not aware of it. I apologize for being too young.
Yeah, it was weird because when I searched Phil Coffer, like all the stories came up. There was like a lot of local stories, like from like the VLT and stuff about his dad and his dad's playing career here. So,
yeah,
he committed to play basketball here. He was going to come here and play basketball, and then we got rid of Konzo, and I guess he didn't want to play for Donnie.
Hmm. Well, rest in peace, Mike.
We didn't get rid of Konzo. Konzo left, but yeah,
he rid himself of us.
He said, "I'm out of here." So, yeah, Coffer then went to Florida State, but yeah.
So, Jorge resigns.
Okay.
At UCLA, the men's soccer coach.
Oh, gotcha.
He was involved in this bribery scheme.
Yeah.
So, he's hanging it up now.
Yeah, we didn't get any big sports with that. It was all the other sports.
And he's a legend, too, apparently, at UCLA.
Really?
Yeah. He had led the Bruins to the NCAA tournament 14 of the last 15 years.
Yeah.
It's either Jorge or George.
I'm pronouncing his name wrong. You were right. It's Coffer, so I apologize.
If it were two Fs, it would be Coffer.
Appreciate J.L. Pettimore for pointing that out, that I'm the one who was wrong.
Well, I just hope I'm pronouncing Jorge right, because I'm assuming Jorge, but it could be George. Or Georgie. J-O-R-G-E. I normally see that as Jorge.
Jorge feels right.
But a guy named George could spell his name that way if he really wanted to.
Sure.
It's kind of like the Jesus, Jesus thing. See a guy that's J-E-S-U-S, and you're like, oh, it's Jesus. And they're like, no, my name's Jesus. The Astros are reportedly discussing extensions with Justin Verlander and Gerrit Cole. Verlander and Cole are both scheduled to become free agents after 2019.
I saw where they paid their third baseman, Alex Bregman. They gave him.
They got him locked up.
Yep. They got him locked up, so now they want the pitchers?
Yep, apparently. They locked up Alex Bregman to a six-year, $100 million contract that bought out his four remaining years of team control plus two free agent years.
Seems like baseball teams have a lot of money despite like the TV stuff, and you know we talk about how they're aging and getting old and how they're, you know, the sport's in trouble, blah blah blah. But it seems as if the teams are still making a lot of money. They have a lot of money to throw around, and it seems like now the trend is going to be, hey, let's sign these big extensions, let's take care of these players before they get to free agency. Let's, like you said, buy up his last 2 years of control that we could have had him for cheap. Let's go ahead and pay him because he's worth it. Let's keep our guys happy. The Angels panicked with Mike Trout and went ahead and locked him up. Now the Astros would have go ahead and reward Bregman for being so good.
The Mets are planning to honor Tom Seaver with a statue and City Field address change. The Hall of Famer was recently diagnosed with dementia and retired from public life. Retired from public life.
Okay. What is that?
That's an interesting term.
Yeah.
I think that's what I'll do when I'm like 60. I'm retiring from public life.
When we are...
Please don't ever speak to me again.
When we're done with Talk Sports, when we are 60, that'll be the way we sign off. We are now retiring from the public eye. Please, no longer talk to me. I am no longer a radio host.
I am no longer a member of the public.
Please, please do not talk to me. Just treat me as if I am a normal civilian. Normal civilian. I didn't mean for that to sound as big-headed as it sounded.
A normal civilian?
I didn't mean for that to... It came out sounding a lot worse than I intended it for.
I don't know. If you're still on the radio at 60, things will probably have gone pretty well.
Please don't talk to me about sports in public anymore. I just want to be left alone.
Remember the 2015 Florida loss? It hurts to this day.
I do hope at
What's
some point...
What's the streak at now? 42 in a row?
Thank God for 2016.
No, we won 2016, remember? We've lost 42 of the last 43. Someone bring me some water. Intern Ben.
We'll find a new Ben.
We should really try to seek out from now on have interns all named Ben. That should be a part of the requirement. If your name is Ben and you'd like to be an intern at Talk Sports, well, please reach out.
Why in this, like, theoretical way down the line thing, I'm the only one that's not here?
Remember Ben Lee.
You've went on to better things, Ben.
Remember Ben Lee. It's a shame he was killed.
Oh,
In a zoo accident, nonetheless.
This has gotten dark. Tournament's about to tip off right now. Day two. Getting ready to get under way. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Initial takeaway.
I'd rather see a cam for one of the guys Duke's playing against and just him panting frantically trying to keep up with Zion. Hey, give me the cam on the guy guarding Zion.
Well, I'm sure that camera will pick up that guy.
That's what I'd rather have.
Forget
Zion. I want to see that kid's reaction.
Let's mic that kid up too. Damn it. He's just so big, fast, and strong. What do I do?
How do you stop this guy? I'd much rather see that.
Okay.
I mean, a Zion cam's cool and fine.
I mean, guess. I think I want a Zion cam. I know that people are always upset at the coverage, but I think I want the best possible angle if he puts out a crazy highlight. Right? If he comes from out of nowhere and tracks somebody down on a block, don't we want the best angle of that? Or no?
Yeah.
Feels like it's a little too much, though, right?
I mean, it's a little much for one player, yeah. Are they just doing it for the game against the 16 seed?
No, I don't think so. No, I think – I mean, I would imagine that the more high-profile the game is, the more coverage he's only going to get.
It's going to be a real shame when Duke gets knocked out of this tournament, huh? That's going to really upset all the TV suits.
It's going, like I said yesterday, man, he's the biggest story by far of the NCAA tournament. They got his own damn camera for him.
Are they going to win the whole thing? I mean, I picked them in my bracket, and you did not. You picked Gonzaga?
I picked Gonzaga.
To play, so you got Gonzaga beating Duke in the Final Four?
That is correct.
They've already done it once.
They did.
If Duke doesn't win this whole thing, who's going to win?
Gonzaga.
It doesn't make sense to ask you because you already said
the team that beat them before, full strength.
Is that the only? That's not the only team that can beat them, though.
It's the only team that has beaten them, full strength. Now, I mean, Carolina lost by one, so I think if they match up with Carolina, like, Carolina could beat them. Carolina went toe-to-toe, although Marcus Bolden was out, so no, I guess they didn't even beat them full strength.
And the other one seeds Virginia. Virginia can't beat them.
Virginia's 0-2 against them.
Virginia has no shot. Maybe if there was, I don't know, another team that could come out of Virginia's region.
And am I wrong in saying that Virginia lost to them the second time without Zion? Am I wrong in that or no? No, that's not right.
I was talking about Tennessee.
I mean, Tennessee Duke, that'd be fun.
They lost once without Trey Jones, but I think both times they had Zion. Or once they had.
You're talking about Virginia Duke?
Yeah.
Maybe that was it. Maybe Trey Jones didn't play. Okay, there you go. That is right. So they didn't have somebody. Yeah. Okay. Good job by you, Ben.
And they still won. And they beat them worse at Virginia than they did in Cameron.
And I believe that was, yeah, that is correct. He missed the game at Duke, I think, if I'm not mistaken. I think. I mean, if you're CBS, it seems like what's going to be fascinating, though, is that whenever you see some questionable calls, right? That's going to be the fun part. If Duke also gets the Regal blue blood whistle, because you've got it here clear, CBS is letting you know this guy is an attraction. This guy makes us more money. We are spending more money to improve our coverage of Duke and Zion Williamson. Does that make it feel a little different? Does that make it feel a little grosser? Does that open themselves up for criticism? Because it seems as if CBS has a favorite team here. They're not doing the Grant Williams camera. They're not doing the Rui Hachimura camera. DeAndre Hunter ain't getting his own camera. None of those guys are getting this treatment. It is just Zion. Which, don't get me wrong, Grant Williams is not Zion. Rui Hachimura is not Zion. DeAndre Hunter is not Zion.
But they are the other good basketball players that are not treated as,
but they're still,
as kindly.
Right, they're still really good basketball players. I would say at least Rui and Grant are probably All-Americans, right?
Yeah.
So, no, they are not Zion, but they're still really good. And it feels like they might be opening themselves up to some criticism, and it looks as if they are showing favoritism with this camera. And if all of a sudden they start getting a really lopsided whistle, I do feel like that's going to open themselves up for some questioning, rightfully.
I mean, do you think this is going to be rigged to get Zion to the Final Four? Not rigged, per se, but, I mean, to get him good whistles. Because the TV people want him there. They want him in the Final Four. It's like talking about the big brands. We always talk about the brands and how we didn't want TCU or Baylor. We wanted Ohio State. There's got to be something to that. Not that they would blatantly just cheat to get the big teams there, but
sure,
they're going to get favorable calls.
And obviously, yeah, I mean, the networks are a big partner in this, right? When it comes to the college football playoff. Now, granted, the NCAA tournament is different, right? Duke wasn't on the bubble. Zion came back early enough. They won the ACC tournament. They belong as a one seed. So it's not like they got preferential treatment that way. And they're still going to have to win six games. But it feels a little icky that they're having a camera dedicated to this kid. They are treating him as if he is LeBron James.
If I'm a coach and I got to stop him, I think I just take him out of the game. I mean, really, just send in one of your guys who just
the first time he jumps up for a rebound, you just
send him into
go
the crowd.
Right under his ankles, just and you flip him on his neck.
Spear him into the crowd.
If he breaks his neck, great.
I mean, I wouldn't want him to have a broken neck, but I mean, you do something. You take out a knee or something, you know. If you, I mean, how do you defend the guy? You can't defend him. If you don't want to cheat to win, you're going to get beat. I just don't know how you beat them fair and square with him on the floor.
Sure.
I guess Gonzaga did it.
Gonzaga did it, and the way they did it was they played zone, and Duke's Achilles heel this year. Like, if they're going to lose in the tournament, they are going to lose because of three-point shooting. Like, sure, Zion can hit a couple. RJ Barrett can get hot, but they're not a good three-point shooting team. So if you are going to beat them, it's going to be someone that zones them up and just pulls them down in the mud and doesn't let Zion get out and get fast breaks And I'm sure if you get Zion in foul trouble, that would really help. But really, like, if Duke loses, it will be because they didn't shoot well from three. That's what Gonzaga did to them when they beat them. They zoned them up, and Duke didn't know what the hell they were doing. Now, granted, that game was in November, right? So you would think this team is better against the zone now than they would be in November.
You would think that.
And Zion seems to be better than he was in November. He seems to be, you know, peaking right now. But at the same time, RJ Barrett, Cam Reddish, those guys aren't as good now as they were earlier in the year, especially Cam Reddish. So I think it's kind of a wash of like Zion going to another level, but also Cam Reddish not being the guy we thought he was going to be.
I think RJ is just about as good.
You think RJ is about as good as Zion, or as good as we thought he was going to be?
No, as good as he was the start of the year. I mean, sure. I think he's still consistently pretty good. Nobody's as good as Zion.
I mean, Reddish has had some moments, sort of, kind of. I mean, if you just look and say, oh, he scored 23 against North Carolina, at North Carolina when Zion didn't play, and you're like, oh, wait, he went 6 of 23? Yeah. There's not a college coach in the country who will say, yeah, we won't trade up 23 points if you're going to take 23 shots to get it, right? If you're going to go 6 of 23 for your 23 points, yeah, just go ahead. And then, yeah, he pretty much, I don't want to say no-showed in the ACC tournament, but 7 of 22 from the field. 3 of 13 from 3. Reddish has to be their shooter, and he hasn't been lately. So if they lose, he's going to be the reason why, in my opinion.
You got to send in the goons and have them go straight for Zion's knees.
Oh, Jesus.
The knee, the bad knee, the one that the shoe, because you blew out. You just got to go straight for that knee.
I mean, why stop there? Why wait till the game starts? Why not send why not send Tonya Harding after? Why not pull a Tonya Harding? Why wait till the game starts? Why not just catch him in getting off the bus?
Have
somebody with a mask on take a crowbar to his leg.
I, Zion.
Yeah.
You make a movie about it.
Yeah, why wait till the game starts?
Hey, do what you got to do to win.
Just get him right off of the bus.
I mean, we always talk about these college basketball coaches being mobsters, right?
If Zion disappears before the Duke Kentucky Final Four game, maybe we know what the answer is there with Calipari.
Or maybe that Elite Eight game against Izzo, if Izzo can keep from killing any of his players first.
Yeah. I'd like to see Izzo get in Zion's face and yell at him like that. Hell, you see the way that the internet has exposed Zion as he's big horny. Zion wants him some college girls. Why not just send a college girl over there to tie him up? Go full Celtic Pride. Hey, Zion, I'm into this new freaky thing. Let me put this belt around your...
Go over there and wear him out the night before the game.
Well, I wasn't going to say that. I was going to say just tie him up and he can't escape and he can't show up for the game.
Yeah.
Let me put these handcuffs...
Or just wear him out.
Let me put some handcuffs on you, Zion. Let me try something really... this new thing.
Or maybe you send him over and give him the herps.
That's not going to stop him in this tournament.
It'll affect his mental psyche.
If the flare up happens immediately, but that might take weeks for it to happen. The tournament will be over by then.
I mean, if he finds out he's got herpes going into the second weekend in the Sweet 16, it could affect his play.
He's probably not going to find out to the pre-draft physical. Like that seems like a bad strategy.
Well, maybe not herpes. Maybe something like something else. Gonorrhea, Ben says, or
burn him a little bit.
Genital warts or something.
Okay.
I don't know. Something that you could physically notice pretty quickly.
I was just going to go with the Celtic Pride method. We're just going to tie him up.
What if he got the thing I got with his finger? That would probably affect him.
Or somebody get him in a nasty hot tub ASAP.
Overlooking the sky of Atlanta.
ASAP. Get him in there now.
There's a lot of things you could do to affect him.
I sent in the goon! Stick with us. This is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
The escape game in downtown Knoxville is the perfect one-hour adventure. You and your squad will be given 60 minutes to complete a goal, and you must use your wits to beat the clock and figure out the final clue before time runs out. Escape Game Knoxville is 100% local and creates all of their games right in the heart of Knoxville. Bring the family, a group of friends, or make it a date night and visit escapegameknoxville.com or call 865-246-1306 to book your room now. Use the promo code FOXSPORTS for a discount. Escape Game Knoxville. Ready. Set. Escape. Distilled in the hills of East Tennessee, Volunteer Vodka is your new game day liquor this football season. Volunteer Vodka is made with 100% non-GMO corn and red grapes. It's completely gluten-free with a signature southern flavor. A flavor so good it captured the double gold at this year's Denver International Spirits Competition. Available where fine spirits are sold. Tennessee is now a vodka state. Stop by and pick you up a bottle. Volunteer Vodka. Show your volunteer spirit.
Being a two-men-in-a-truck employee is more than moving furniture and belongings. It's making an impact in the lives of every customer we serve and building a career along the way. From greeting customers to moving, packing, and unpacking their belongings, our movers and drivers make this company what it is. We provide top-notch training to all new team members and offer continuous training for career development. We offer flexible working hours, which works well for those in school or just looking for a part-time position. To apply, go to twomeninatruck.com/careers.
Dean Heating, Plumbing, and Cooling is proud to serve homeowners, businesses, builders, and large commercial companies in the Knoxville area with all of your plumbing, heating, and cooling needs. And now with their new excavator, they can handle sewer line and plumbing line repipes. Dean PHC offers free service calls. They guarantee the parts and their labor for 10 years on all installations of HVAC equipment and 5 years on all service repairs. And they're now servicing Nashville. Visit DeanPHC.com or call 865-382-0849. Dean Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling.
Start your weekend off right tonight with a beer from Hops and Hollers. Over 32 beers on tap with 20 plus from the state of Tennessee. 100 more in the cooler and nightly food trucks to serve your appetite. Always your home for the Vols and Nashville Predators. Come enjoy the game while playing some of your own on their bocce courts, ping pong tables, or cornhole boards. Your neighborhood craft beer store and tap room, 937 North Central Street and hopsandhollers.com. A Tennessee bar doing Tennessee things.
Founded in downtown Knoxville, Axel Logistics has brought a new and unique approach to third-party logistics. This two-time Inc. 5000 organization thrives on rapid growth through its lively company culture, lucrative pay structure, and deep roots in local community. Their unprecedented growth means they are hiring top salespeople and no logistics experience is required. If you are a sales-minded and driven individual looking to take control of your future and your paycheck, head to axellogistics.com to apply for the role of logistics consultant. Join the team and build your empire. Be sure to list Fox Sports Knoxville as your source when applying. I believe Russell Smith and the boys are setting up right now for It's Optional. I know Russell Smith's not going to be on It's Optional, although he will be today because, you know, this is going to kind of be a pregame show for the Tennessee Colgate tip. Now, Russell's setting up at Elkmont now. Go by, eat some lunch with him. We'll get there as soon as the show's over. We'll head there. And I've made the decision. I'm just going with the French dip. But Travis McKinney of the McKinney team. I think Emily might be out there with him. They are setting up as well today during the Tennessee game. They're going to be giving out appetizers, gift cards, buying you drinks. Stop by, see the McKinney team with Keller Williams, ZillowKnoxville.com. If you want to view their listings or get more familiar with them, stop by and watch the game with us and register. They're going to be doing some drawings, like I said, throughout the entire kind of afternoon into the Tennessee game. Tennessee holding steady right now as a 17-point favorite. You said that Darren Rovell was making the case for Colgate in the first half, right? What was the reason there? Because I was surprised to hear that because I think that Tennessee needs to come out hot in this game. I think that Tennessee needs to come out and kind of make a statement, kind of like they did against Wright State, right, where they just kind of came out and were the better team and didn't let any thoughts of an upset creep in. Because I do feel like that's the – very rarely do you see upsets
maybe the numbers aren't going to back this up, but I feel very strongly about this take, okay? Very strongly. Very rarely do you see upsets where the Cinderella is getting beat by 10 or 15 points at the beginning of the game. Right?
Yeah, right.
Very rarely do you see that team come out there and get off to a slow start, and then, you know what, let's rebound. Let's get going now. Let's make this big comeback. Usually the underdogs come out early and gain confidence. So Tennessee needs to come out of the gates early and don't even let Colgate have the idea that they're going to hang around. Don't even let them think that they have a chance. From the opening tip, Tennessee needs to show that they are mad that they, A, lost to Auburn, B, lost to Loyola last year. I'm really interested in how Tennessee comes out in the first half. If Colgate's within 10 at halftime, is it fair to say I would be disappointed? Am I allowed to say I'm disappointed?
You can say anything you like.
Anything?
Mm-hmm.
You mother.
You could say that right now if you chose to.
Tennessee, to me, needs to make a statement. They need to come out hot, early.
Darren Rovell says he likes Colgate plus 10 in the first half.
Did he have a reason?
Nope. He just said that's one of the things he liked. He also liked Duke, their first half line, which I want to say was like 15 and a half first half. So just saying he liked it to be close. I don't know. If we're up by 9 at halftime, is that bad?
I mean, I guess the difference between 9 and 11 isn't a huge thing. So, like, I'm really saying that I think Tennessee should come out and really just handle business.
Yeah.
I'm thinking like 15 or more. But sure, if it's a 9-point lead, maybe that doesn't spell disaster. But I really think Tennessee needs to come out hot. I don't think they can or they can afford to against Colgate. I would be worried. I will be worried if they don't come out hot today. They've said they've waited for this moment all year, right? Like, you've seen the stories with Jordan Bone talking about having the screensaver of the Loyola shot, how he's been waiting for his chance at redemption. They should have been waiting all year for this tournament. They should feel like they got robbed last year of a Final Four appearance, the first in school history.
Well, it's time for them to come out and show something.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's all led to this point.
Yeah.
And they don't have any hardware.
They'd have nothing to show for this year so far other than 4 weeks at number one.
Yeah.
And you don't put that on a banner.
That's right. That's right. So if they want us all to believe, now's the time to shine.
And that's kind of my point of like, hey, if this team doesn't come out and look as focused as they've had, as they have since, you know, the Kentucky home game, they don't come out and look that hungry because they looked hungry against Kentucky at home, right?
Yeah, and they looked hungry against Kentucky in the tournament.
They need to come out and play a really good 20 minutes to make me feel good about their chances of going deep in this tournament.
I think they need to come out and play a really good 40 minutes.
Sure.
Because they didn't eat against Auburn.
Well, I think if you play a good 20 minutes, the game's over.
Well, yeah, with this team.
That's kind of what I'm getting at. Like, the upsets don't happen where the team gets down big and then storms back. Usually that doesn't happen. If a team shows that they're there to play and kind of allows Colgate to have that doubt, right? Allows them to be like, you know what? This team is really good. We can't play with them. All of a sudden, they kind of pack it up. But if you let Colgate come out and be leading 10 minutes into the game, Colgate's going to hang around.
You know Dave Katsky's been watching that Auburn film.
Sure.
It does worry me a little bit.
I just think they have the athletes that Auburn has.
Well, I would hope not. You remember the 2012 tournament when two seeds lost to 15s?
2012, would that be when Missouri lost to... Was Missouri a two seed? They lost to that HBCU college, right?
Norfolk
State.
That
HBC school, yeah.
Norfolk State, yep. And Duke lost to Lehigh
and
that
Duke,
year.
Oh, okay. I didn't really remember Duke losing to Lehigh, but yeah, mm-hmm. I guess so.
They did. The next year is when Florida Gulf Coast beat Georgetown. 2016 was the last time a two seed lost.
It got hot for a while. The two seeds were vulnerable for a while, and then you said it hasn't happened since 2016?
That was when MTSU beat Michigan State.
Well, that's only 2 years, though.
Three years.
Well, today is 19.
Right.
Well, I guess.
2016.
17, 18, and then, I mean, this first round's not over yet. But, I mean, there's three.
Well, I know. I'm saying it's been 3 years, though, since it's happened.
Sure. Two tournaments. Plus 75%. I mean, there's three two seeds have played, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, once Tennessee gets through, then it'll be three full tournaments where no two seeds have lost.
Yes. I'm just saying to this day, it's 3 years since it's happened.
But it's two tournaments. They are 0-8, then three.
Right. It did not happen in the 17 or 18 tournament.
Right. That's all I'm saying. Two tournaments.
And unless we lose, it'll be three tournaments.
Three that's tournaments. Right. Exactly.
That's correct.
They will be 0-12.
I feel like
it's
easier to just say the years, but
I feel like tournaments are easier.
That's just me.
I think you guys are saying the same thing, just in two different ways.
Well, which way sounds better, Ben? This or that?
That way it hasn't happened in 3 years.
That's just simple.
It's a little more confusing when you say it hasn't happened in 2 2/3 tournaments.
Well, it'd be 75%.
2 2/3 tournaments
it
ago.
It would be 3/4.
2 3/4 tournaments.
2 3/4 tournaments.
It would be 3/4. But
well, it depends on when Michigan State lost. What if they lost on that Thursday? Was it Thursday or Friday they lost?
It was a Friday. I remember it.
Do you?
I remember sitting on the patio watching it.
It was a Friday because I was serving that night. Yeah. I remember working.
So really, it's probably just been really only two tournaments because that's probably the last two seed. All right. Last call on the other side. Stick with us. Last call on the program is brought to you by our friends at Volunteer Vodka. Award-winning vodka distilled in the hills of Tennessee. Told you, just got named the third best vodka in the entire world. Still number one in the continental U.S. $20 a bottle. Stop by and pick you up one. Pump the brakes or keep rolling. Cody McClure, was that to go first or is that to go second?
Second.
Petition to rename Texas Town goes viral. Turns out that the little town in Texas called Dripping Springs wants to rename themselves to Pound Town.
Let's go to Pound Town.
I love it. Who doesn't want to go to Pound Town? They ask. They have surpassed their $1,500 goal. Or I guess they've passed, it was an $1,854 goal on GoFundMe. It is past that, in large part because of Jesse James, the guy who does like the motorcycles. I'm talking about the choppers, the West Coast choppers and all that.
Jesse James.
The Outlaw Garage. Yeah, he's in big support of changing this name to Pound Town.
Let's go to Pound Town.
City merch sales will be through the roof. Someone else wrote, that's the best place to take the wife for your anniversary.
They'll need a lot of new hotels, I would guess.
Hope they take care of their fingernails up there. Yeah. Don't any fingers getting infected.
That's true. That can be a real problem. What did Will Greer have for dinner?
I'm Michael Jordan. Stop it. Get some help.
Will Greer had two dinners last night. Steak and salad with the Panthers' Norv and Scott Turner, and a sushi roll with the Redskins' Jay Gruden, according to NFL reporter Aditi Kingabawala, NFL Network reporter. Apparently he met with the Giants yesterday, the way he distinguishes himself from other quarterbacks, he said, by showing what a playbook junkie he is. I just thought it was cool they had what Will Greer had for dinner.
Would you go, if you went out for dinner with teams, would you try to eat the most expensive thing, like to really splurge, like, hey, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I'm only going to be dining with these people one time as a before I get drafted. Do you go for just something really expensive you always want to try, or could that potentially be a red flag? This jerk is too expensive, lavish, not sure he could handle the fame and money that we would be giving him.
Surely they're not judging you by what you order at dinner.
They judge everything about you.
Well, that would be a little ridiculous.
In this pre-draft process.
That's ridiculous.
It could also go the other way. Shows extreme confidence. Power moves.
That's true.
I mean, you don't order like you don't order steak and lobster, but you can order one or the other. You don't have to get a burger.
I had a job interview one time where I was meeting a guy for a job interview. We're sitting there, and it was about 1:15 or so, and he says, meet me for drinks and lunch. Okay. Get there. He's like, you want anything to drink? I said, well, I was like, I guess give me a whiskey Sprite. And he just looked at me. He just looked at me so weird. It was like, then he told the waitress, I'll take a sweet tea. And he stopped and he said, do you drink often at 1 o'clock in the afternoon?
Guess you didn't get that job.
And I said, well, you told me you wanted to get drinks. You set me up.
When somebody tells me they want to get drinks, I'm not talking about sweet tea.
Well, that's what was confusing about it. He was like, you just waited. I went first. And I never will forget. He's like, do you drink often at 1:15 in the afternoon?
Every day. Especially if I'm on the clock.
What'd you say?
Like, I said when someone else is buying. Yeah.
Only when I'm on the clock, boss.
I went with the cheap meal option, though. I didn't go with steak or anything. I just went with like the $8-$10 lunch or whatever.
At that point, you have to after you get a
Maker's
Market Sprite.
So I just ordered the most expensive thing on the menu that I could. Just really double down on it.
Give me a double Maker's Mark Sprite on the side.
And big prime rib, please.
Prime rib. Oh, would you just like the 10-ounce, the lunch portion? No. 16-ounce prime rib, please. Got any lobster mac and cheese?
Yeah, sort of went all in on it.
So you didn't get the job?
We did some work together.
What was this? What kind of company was this?
It was a job interview.
This is a long time ago.
I mean, I was 21. I was over 21.
Many
so
years
been,
ago.
It hasn't been too long ago, but yeah.
You're not comfortable talking about it? Or?
It was like last week.
It was not, because you've told that story before.
I don't think I've told it on air. I don't think. Maybe, though. I don't know.
I don't know.
In the honor of March Madness, former NCAA legend back in the NBA.
Yep.
Jimmer Fredette signs a 2-year deal with the Phoenix Suns. He's back. He's back out of China. He's been balling in Shanghai for a long time. Finally, in the age of pace and space and shoot threes and all that, one of the best three-point shooters in the world is back in the NBA. You care about that?
Mm-mm.
You don't care about Jimmer? I used to love watching Jimmer play at BYU.
I mean, I enjoyed watching him in college, but I never saw him do anything else.
Well, there you go. Here's your chance.
I guess so. Important NCAA.
He's already 30?
Yeesh. Jimmer.
Yeah. He's getting old.
It's been a minute since he was at BYU.
Yeah. He's probably like 25 when he's at BYU.
So you guys are the same age, basically.
I guess we are.
He's even older than you.
Yeah.
Important NCAA tournament update. Cincinnati, Iowa score.
Delete.
Ole Miss not looking too good right now, are they?
Thought you were really going to try to triple down with the Oklahoma. Then I might have stopped. Ole Miss making a little bit of a run. They're fine.
Papa John's has a new spokesman. Do you know who it is?
No.
I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
He has trouble sitting in cars, but he does car commercials.
Shaq.
It is Shaq. That was a good hint, wasn't it? Papa John's found its next spokesman, Shaquille O'Neal. The company hopes Shaq can help Papa John's beyond pizza.
He's hoping they can fix the race relations. Since their former owner and CEO basically was dropping in bombs. Well, using racial slurs on conference calls.
Makes sense to go pay Shaq then.
Shaq. lovable? I mean, Shaq has a high approval rating, right? Everyone likes Shaq, right?
Is Shaq bigger than Peyton? I mean, I know he's taller, but as a brand?
Oh, that's good. That's actually a really good question. I would say yes right now because Peyton's not in the limelight as much. Like, Shaq's still in the public.
Yeah.
Like, he's still Peyton, on TV every night, or not every night, but he's still on TV on one of the best, you know, pregame sports shows in the country.
And Peyton's just apparently hanging out in Denver.
Yeah, I mean, if Peyton goes back to Monday Night Football, that answer changes, right?
Yes.
I think at that point I would give the edge back to Peyton. But, yeah, Shaq is a you know, former movie star. He's been in movies. He's been a lead man in some movies. He was in Uncle Drew. Had a pretty big role in that. So, I mean, I would say Shaq's a bigger brand. And it also helps. Like we said, Papa John's needs a black guy. And Shaq is black, whereas Peyton Manning is not.
That's true. Peyton Manning is very, very white.
Peyton Manning is a white man. Papa John's is trying to alleviate some of the concerns of minorities in this country about how they feel about them at Papa John's. So is Shaq just a spokesman, or is he also on the board?
He's going to be on the board of directors, and he will also invest in 9 Papa John's stores in Atlanta.
I assume Shaq lives in Atlanta now?
I think so, yeah.
Because that's where the TNT studios are, so I imagine he lives down there.
They're going to pay Shaq $8.25 million over 3 years for the deal.
And he's investing locally? I wonder how much he's investing locally.
He has experience in the food business, too. Shaq owns a Krispy Kreme Donuts in Atlanta. Did you know that?
I didn't.
He's also got a Big Chicken fast casual fried chicken joint in Vegas and the Shaquille O'Neal restaurant in L.A.
I wonder if they make their spokesmen like also invest. Like, put your money where your mouth is. Because Peyton owns, what, like 30 of them? Didn't Peyton own like 30 of them? And then sold out right before the crash came?
Perfect. Have you ever just looked at the size of Shaq's hands?
He is a big person.
Good Lord.
I would say insider trading too, Ben, except like you didn't know that Peyton or that Papa John was going to get caught dropping an N-bomb. Got lucky because, like, you know, there wasn't a predicted crash. It just happened like, hey, the Papa's in trouble. The Papa's made a big mistake.
Shaq can hold a full-size basketball with his fingertips like you or I could a baseball.
Really?
Yeah.
No, he can't.
Look at this photograph. I don't know if you'd know what photo was short for. Look at his fingertips right there. There's no doubt he could hold that ball with just his fingertips. Just like we could a baseball.
Is that a full size? There's no way that's a full size basketball.
I don't know, man. Shaq's a big dude.
There's no way that's a full size basketball.
He's a big dude.
He's not that big.
He's pretty damn big.
I mean, 7'1". There's no way that's a full-size basketball, right?
I mean, what, you think it's just photoshopped in? Or it's?
I mean, I guess that would make
ball?
Sense why you can never shoot free throws, because you can't get any touch on the ball if you can't. Yeah. And if the whole ball's on your palm. Maybe.
You think it's a women's ball?
It just seems so... I mean, it looks cartoonish.
I know. I mean, it could be enhanced, I guess, but I don't know.
I mean, Shaq is a big person.
Yes, he is.
All right. Tournament updates. Cincinnati 32, Iowa 22 right now. Oklahoma out to an early 10-point lead. 7 minutes into their game against Mississippi. Those are the only two games tipping right now. I'm about to go eat some lunch at Elkmont Exchange and watch Tennessee play basketball. If you would like to do the same, I would love to have you join us. Ben Lee's buying. Let's track down Ben Lee. He is buying everyone's lunch who comes in and says, they heard this on the show. That is not contractually true. Do not make Ben Lee buy your dinner or lunch. That was just something funny I said. It's Optional's up next. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.